Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh! Oh, come on. It's like, you know, it's like Lutherans mooing in church. Oh! Everybody who thirsts, come to the waters. If you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And then Isaiah asks a great question. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, or your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully, Isaiah says. Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. And later, listen so that you may live. It is so tempting to go immediately to the feeding of the 5,000 and do the standard sermon about loaves and fishes and all of that stuff. But I think the words of Isaiah bring light to these texts in ways that we shouldn't miss. Now remember, Isaiah, especially there in 3 Isaiah, he's not usually the most chipper sort of fellow in this part of the reading. In fact, he spends a tremendous amount of time reminding everyone about how pretty much awful they are. And he pretty much tells the people of Israel, look, God gave you everything that you could ever want, and you muffed it. You chased after false gods. You mingled with other people. You didn't worship the Lord in the way that I called you to worship the Lord, and the Lord is a little miffed. And in fact, you have been cast out into the desert. You have been cast into slavery. The Babylonians are going to come down and get you. You name it, it's going to happen to you. And then in the middle of that, all of that kind of craziness, he says, oh, wait a minute. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It is this pool of grace in the middle of condemnation. And he asked this really powerful question. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you give your labor and your time and your effort and your hard-earned cash for that which does not give you life? It seems to me a question we particularly need to hear in these days. There is the practical end of stuff, which is, of course, that we spend our money and our time and an effort on all kinds of things. It's amazing what we cannot live without, especially if you're around 30 years old. That was my worst time, I think. It was the point at which I had enough money to buy what I wanted, but not enough sense to know not to do so. And the world becomes your oyster at that age, it seems to me, because it all looks so cool. I will bring up in point, at nearly 50 years old, the iPhone. You know, it's the kind of thing that when you go into the store and you pick it up and you play with it, you say to yourself, how could I ever have lived without it? It's so cool. I could be on the internet anywhere. I could get calls. Oh, no, that's not so cool. But I could text people, look up recipes. I could, you know, video conference with my daughter, get in contact with my doctor, all at my fingertips, and you move and you play, and there's games. I could go to the bishop's meetings and do something fun. And if you watch the ads, you would be convinced that indeed it would give you life, or at least a better life. But of course, we know as we gain a little wisdom that iPhones and things like them are nice enough, and certainly not evil within themselves. I'm a Mac person. If it was by Microsoft, I would probably say it was evil, but it isn't. The problem isn't the thing, it's that we keep expecting things that cannot give us life or true happiness to do so. And so in this text in Isaiah, he asks, why would you spend yourself that way? There is life itself, life abundant in God. And it will cost you nothing. All of the iPhones in the world will not adequately define you as a gift. It may define you as being cool or a consumer or wealthy or in the kind of groove of the world. It may make you more accessible. It might drive you crazy, but it won't give you life. That will come only by coming to the fountain of God, who gave you your very life in its beginning. And God pours out that life abundantly and for free. Why would you spend yourself on things that do not give life? What really gives you life after all? If, for some reason, I should happen to go out and buy an iPhone after my 2-year contract with Verizon expires, how long would I be happy? Just until the iPhone G4 came out. And I'd have to have one of those. That kind of life is so temporary. But I know of another life that comes to me fully and abundantly in this community and in the greater community of God. I know that the fountain is full and overflowing here with people who love and nurture, challenge, and care. Think about what you would least like to lose in your life. It probably isn't your iPhone. It's probably a person. It's not a something. It's a someone. Or some people. We learned a long time ago that when you put a dollar value on people, society begins to crumble. We called it slavery and apartheid. What we know is that the value that the people of our lives have for us and for the world is intrinsic in God's economy. So that when we think about what gives us life, it isn't stuff, it's relationships. And in the end, that's the water. That's the pouring out. that Isaiah offers for all of us. This enduring forever relationship with a God who loves us. Jesus will flesh that out in the feeding of the 5,000, in that powerful story where everyone has come to be healed and to be taken care of and to hear good words, to have their needs met, to be in fellowship together. And at the end of the day, in this deserted place, there is no food. And Jesus doesn't seem particularly worried about it. He just takes this bread and these fish. And it is not only enough, it overflows 12 baskets full. God's presence, God's power, and God's peace overflowed on that day so that they were fed with the food that they needed. The food that gave them life. And there was so much of it that it took 12 baskets to pick it all up. We are talking one big to-go plate. In this same way, God continues to lay out the feast. It isn't so much for us fish and loaves as it is, at least at Lutheran Church of Honolulu, little tiny paper wafers and a little bit of wine. Not much to eat, but it is the food that brings life. It's the food that brings life because it binds us together, person to person, joy to joy, love to love, in a way that no thing could do. It kills me that one of the ways that we sell communication devices like the iPhone is we say it helps build, what's the word? Community. Community. I shared the story with you, I think once before, about the two teenagers at the National Youth Gathering. One went to one side of the computer bank. The other one, facing him, 4 feet away, went to the other side, and they texted one another for an hour. And they laughed hysterically. And when I asked the question, why didn't you just talk to one another? They couldn't come up with a decent answer. This was more fun. No device will ever bring us together in the way that coming and kneeling and sharing bread and wine will bind us to one another and to God's covenant. So listen to the prophet. Ho, he says, it's happening, and it's happening here, and it's happening for you. Ho, come and drink and eat. Buy milk and wine at no cost, at no price. This is God's gift and God's party, and it is for you, and all of you are on the invitation list. And lastly, it is not a potluck. Amen.